And this is Russ Dizdar. This is ShadowTheDarkness.net. This is the SIIU course, training course, occult crimes, and, well, the satanic crimes also. Glad you're here tonight. We got the chat room, classroom already open. Folks are coming in. Want to say welcome to everybody coming in there. Listen, I want to ask you tonight if the sound is okay. We've got many things to talk about. Right now, the world is looking, and the nation is looking, every single television show. I live about 50 minutes from where the three girls have been found, escaped, Amanda being, as they say, the hero. Girls held down in a basement for 10 years. And it's amazing to me, as it is with all of us, that nobody caught this and nobody saw this. And this speaks about, again, human trafficking and the satanic underground, abduction of children and abduction of girls in between 7 and 17. And so much of this case is now fitting the facts of the abduction scenario, the use in the area of sexuality, sex. Were they three girls used in sex trafficking? That's bad enough. Terrible, horrific. But what about breeders? If they were bearing children, the FBI are now going to be digging in the basement, digging in the backyard. Stories already about these babies that may have been born and died, whatever else. Here's why it's an interest to me. I want to say again, welcome to all those coming in. You are coming into the three-hour Tuesday night, May 7th, class on occult crimes and satanic crimes in dealing with SRA. And I've been barraged all day, questions and watching and list news and all kinds of sources looking into the breaking free of three girls in Cleveland. I remember when Amanda went missing, and I remember when the other girl went missing, and they had this massive search, and prayers have gone up, and the joy of the family and the friends and others and the answered prayer they're declaring and Amanda getting out and running and calling 911 and all the rest. That's, absolutely astounding. And all the care that's being taken. They caught the three men. Now, here's why it's interesting to me. Because in law enforcement, they're not going to always tell you about the backdrop to is there Satanism involved, cult involved? What are the motivations? Was it just pure sexual slaves? Were the girls acting as wives to these three men? Here's the interest that I have right now. Almost 20 years ago, we had been up to that area of Cleveland numerous times, 50 to 60 times. We worked with a federal officer's wife who was an SRA MPD, chosen one. We learned the hard way of inside cult parts and being informed on and being set up. A lot of what I'm going to tell you tonight in the course that deals with this subject is part of what we're talking about here tonight. Part of the issue of misinformation, disinformation, the hiding of the underground. So the Reap trip last Friday night was not to Cleveland itself, no. But we've been up there on those trips. We've been to Seymour Street. We've been to streets around there in this Hispanic community. And the perpetrators that came down from Cleveland to my house, they did a death ritual. Coco the priestess, coven name of Wally, Emilio, Patricio, these other guys, connected with a blonde-haired German, chosen one, woman, wife of a federal officer that we knew and tried to help out, and her we tried to help out. But we had this major engagement. Even when we went up there to find her when she was abducted, close to the Seymour Street area, and Cleveland officers had to be called in. And those who were, and they were Hispanic, they, you know, these guys, the claims were Guatemalan and Mexican and Hispanic. And that the nationality issue is not the issue, it's what they were into. Cantabile, like a voodoo form, worse than Palo Mayombe, similar to the Abaqua. They were into all kinds of stuff. So we had to kind of, you know, I mean, we really got into a lot of dangerous things up there in the area. And, yeah, somebody already put it here in the classroom about the Emily Castro, the girl, Indiana prison, slashing the throat of her daughter. And here's the news I just got a hold of on cable news. They just came out to say that this girl, she had depression problems, and they were talking about mental issues, some kind of mental issues concerning, you know, are they dissociative issues? What were the issues that they're talking about here? So many things to this case in Cleveland. I am praying, and I'm asking you to pray tonight that we will see a breaking open of, if there is a satanic side, if there is a cult side, even if there's human trafficking and or a satanic side to this means this is not the only house, means there's more to all of this than just that alone. So we got to make sure that we take a look into all of this and see what's going on. So I'm glad you're here. Glad you're with us tonight. You have joined into the SIU, the Satanic Ritual Abuse, the Occult Crimes class. There are some of you in the Cleveland area, and that's why I'm going to bring this out tonight. I want to ask you directly whether or not you're hearing that this case of the three girls breaking away has anything to do with satanic coven, ritual, anything ritually oriented. Anybody know officers involved? Anybody knows how they can ask? Because if this is actually part of the same group, then there's some big issues here. If it's human trafficking or if it's underground satanic activity, there's no question that there's, yeah, you're right, in the classroom tonight, clear evidence of heavy satanic activity in that area. No question about that. But what we want to know is whether or not anyone else knows concerning Seymour Street, the kind of dark stuff that had been going on up there. So we're going to ask you tonight to be in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray over the class. We pray just in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, for everyone's protection, your grace, your mercy, for you to speak to us, for you to engage us tonight in the training materials. And God, we ask you simply to reach into Cleveland and reach into this case, and more than anything, heal the girls, restore the girls, help the girls. One of them has an actual little baby girl, 6-year-old. Maybe there's more. God, we just pray that you'll bring total healing to them. And then, God, stretch out your hands to really bring massive exposure, all the connections to be nailed down. If this is human trafficking also, if this is satanic ritual abuse stuff underground also. So let's all pray that way and ask the Lord. We've got a lot of good things. Tonight, the first hour, we're going to get into the workbooks tonight, and we are going to deal with, the subject matter is misinformation, disinformation, and we're going to talk about how the covens, the cults, the underground works, even inside of chosen ones with subparts to mislead cops, mislead investigators, set up people that are trying to help. So we have a big, big content tonight. Glad you're here. Keep everything prayed up tonight. Now, listen, we have Tom Dunn coming on in the second hour out of Mansfield, Ohio, where there was a ritually abuse, a sexual abuse case of a Presbyterian church. It's not over. It needs to be looked back into. Mary Jo Schneller is going to be coming on a week from now. Out of St. Louis, she has worked for 25 years plus with satanic ritually abused people, individuals, victims, and we're going to talk with her next week. The week after that, William Taylor, it looks like we're going to have him on, wrote a book on Aleister Crowley to expose some of the dark side. He's now involved in putting out a documentary on one of the major satanic or alleged satanic cases, the West Memphis Three. We're going to talk to him in a couple of weeks, and we have a law enforcement agent coming on towards the end of the month. We've got to do something. We had something happen here in the studio where I'm at right now, the research center, and give me 30 seconds or so. It's going to be silent for about 30 seconds, and I'll be right back. I've got to check on something, and I'll be right back in 30 seconds. Welcome to everyone. You're at the Shatter the Darkness Occult Satanic Crimes course. This is Russ Dizdar. Give me 30 seconds. All right. Was that about 30 seconds? I'm not sure. How's the volume tonight? Everything okay there? We are in the workbook. If you've got the workbook tonight, if not, you want to keep some notes, welcome to all those by the archives also, by the way. Hundreds of you coming in that way. And we are really glad. We are in week 7. I'm looking at my book right here. Page 75. Page 75 in the workbook. Now, we only have a couple more weeks with this workbook. We're going to have a second workbook for the other 9 weeks coming up. And it'll be hopefully a little more extensive. But the most important part about this workbook as we break down week by week is your involvement in it. You're writing down the scriptures and the materials and everything else. So that's important for us tonight. Page 75, the week number 7, and we're going to deal with these major subjects. On guard for misinformation, disinformation, and being set up. On guard for retaliation from the demonic powers and perpetrators. So we got a lot. We have a lot to really get into here. And we're glad we will not have, thank you, we will not have the secondary workbook up for another week, it looks like. At least another week. Maybe longer. We might extend this to one extra week, have 1 week of a break, and then come back for the next 9 weeks. And at the end of the second 9 weeks, by the way, we're going to set up in October a local training, Friday night, all day Saturday, part of Sunday, for occult crimes, satanic crimes. If you want to come to a conference and spend a weekend really digging in, and we might even do some field work at that time. But listen, again, welcome to all of you coming in. Keep yourselves prayed up. Pray for one another, because as we enter in, like Monday nights, this spiritual warfare class, as we enter this class, there is going to be some warfare. There's going to be some issues. And we're going to talk about some cold cases tonight, some live stuff tonight. And if you, we're going to take a look into the change also on the, we'll take a look at that possibly when we go into the second half. But as for tonight, page 75, the first point, A, on guard for misinformation and disinformation and setups. And I'm going to tell you this, that we had to learn the hard way. That means almost being stabbed or shot at or, you know, all kinds of crazy things that occurred, people showing up at our house. Now, one of those, when we worked with a federal officer's wife out of Cleveland, the coven, they constantly called, or when we got phone calls and threats, it was called the Circle of Dominion. And they used to call in. I don't even know if I have the recordings any longer, but the voice would come on and say about the woman, her, I won't give her name, but that her blood, her power belongs to the coven. Because we would seek to help her and keep her hidden out during ritual dates. She had subparts that were runners. She had subparts that were able to take out our staff numerous times. And it was a back and forth thing. We met her husband. We cared about him. And we had a lot of discussions with him. One of the major episodes of her attempted killing of one of us. And, well, that is a subpart sent in by the coven. I mean, programmed or trained anyway. But I mean, a real attempt. And this is when we were in Cleveland, not too far from Seymour Street, by the way, when these folks from out of our country, anyway, they were here, part of the Circle of Dominion, part of the underground stuff. Coco, we've already dealt with her. She was she was a priestess, and when the cops broke into her, you know, got in, and she finally, they were going to bust down her door. They let me come in. There were vials of blood, feathers, every kind of ritual thing in the context of Cantabile voodoo and that kind of dark powers and so forth involved. And the officers didn't even know. I mean, and afterwards we're told that this priestess is going to start doing rituals to keep the cops away. They told us to look for orange powder around the edges of the door. And by the way, just for all officers to know, whether you think it's, you know, going to matter at all, but they do. They do rituals specifically against police officers. And the underground SRA system would want to purposely infiltrate law enforcement to have eyes and ears on the inside. So if you have anybody within law enforcement that is multiple, that is, has sub-personalities, multiple personality disorder, it means a lot more than just that. It means possibly they are there subparts to monitor, to acquire information, and to be used by the outside. Now, that's not a strange thing to think about when you think of drug lords or the mafia having people on their payroll. That's how it works in the underworld with the satanic ritual abuse system, the same kind of ways. So keep your eyes on the case in Cleveland, because the latest is FBI, they're taking samples of all the blood issues on the floor, the basement, births of other children, and deaths. Were they used for breeders and the babies sent out? Were they used in human trafficking? Was it satanic? Is there any symbols, signs, anything else, markings? Does anybody up there know the three men, Ariel and his two brothers? What do we know? You know, so if you're in Cleveland, if you're connected in law enforcement, we'd love to, you know, lend whatever help or whatever we can give to that, especially if you're finding occult and satanic symbol signs and the stories coming from the girls. Very important. A quick question right now in the chat room. I'll give this answer quickly, but we're going to hold off on questions to the very end. The book The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. Can you tell me anything about this book? Yeah, I think that the Circle Maker issue goes to pagan origins, and it should never have been drawn in to be used in the context of prayer. So I really think that you can't use a pagan concept to bring in and to make a, you know, to kind of use that in that context. So there's far more better books on prayer. The Kneeling Christian. If you ever just, you know, go to Amazon and you know, whether you buy it from there or not, but just go to Amazon and type in The Kneeling, like kneeling down, Kneeling Christian. That is a great, great, great prayer book. Let's go on with 40 Minutes Tonight on page 75, because we are dealing with, I'm reading right out of the manual tonight, because we are dealing with crime and satanic and the satanic nature, the lies, the deceit, the cover-up, that's all normal. All of that's the normal stuff of what they do. And that's true when it comes to human trafficking, satanic ritual abuse, all the underground drug lords, drug pushers, pimps, prostitutes, lies, disinformation, deceit, secrecy, hiding. That's all part of that underworld. But we got 7 points tonight that we want to go over quickly about misinformation and disinformation. If you're going to be working with a victim, if you're going to be engaging the circle or the web of who the perpetrators are and where the coven is and are there other victims and so forth. So it's very important that we look. Point number one. The issue is you gotta in all of the ministry of dealing with SRA, all of us in the underground, you gotta deal with number one. Remember this: Satan is the father of lies. That whole under system is all about lies. So you understand when Jesus says, you know, that, you know, he's the father of lies, when he speaks his native language, he's going to speak lies. So you've got to be set up ahead of time. You've got to know this in advance, that when you are going to deal with the underworld, people connected to the dark side, the satanic side, and cult loyal sub-personalities, you're going to find lies. Okay, that's going to be part of it. Demons, if they manifest and you engage, they're going to be throwing out lies. You need to order them in the name of Jesus otherwise. So very important tonight. Thank you, Shane, for having that in John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. That is his own, like his own nature to speak that way. That is his nature. He's a liar. So that's important for us to understand in dealing. You're going to find that you're going to be lied to. You're going to be lied to purposely. You're going to be lied to because they don't want you to find out things. You're going to have sub-personalities that are either denial programming or disinformation programming. I'll explain that as we go tonight. But if you're going to work in this area, you need this information heads up so you don't have to learn the hard way or get anybody harmed. Point number one, remember that lies are going to be, you know, in all of this because Satan is the father of it. And the dark underground side is going to have that. Now, second, number two, realize that they count on the power of deception, the power of deceit, the power of cover-up. The power of deceit, that's number two. The power of deceiving, deception, even victims inside, even those who are SRA, they're being lied to, they're being deceived, they're being played with constantly, they're being set up to test them. But the perpetrators and covenant loyal personalities and anybody involved in the underworld, there is everything about them is set up in the area of deception and covering up. That's vital for us to know in the beginning. And you got to remember, again, Ezekiel 8, nobody knew. It was covered up so powerfully. And when I say also this, the power of deceit and deception, I'm listening to a victim of ritual abuse today, and they're talking about how their mom and dad, and this is true of all the cases we've dealt with, when moms and dads are involved in part of the coven, they take them to a nice, you know, Lutheran church or to a Catholic church or somewhere. Their whole outward life is a cover story. Just like Ezekiel 8, those 70 elders of of Israel, during the day, they're living one lifestyle. They look like the moral, upstanding, religious people. But the truth is, what they really are in the darkness. What they really are in the darkness. And so they live under the, you know, they live using the power of deceit and deception and masquerade. Now that's point three. A biblical principle concerning the dark side's operating presence. This is the method. That's part of what they do. You know how it says in 2 Corinthians that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. The Greek word metaskizmazo, that he transfigures. Now that's a supernatural ability. That's a real powerful ability. They have the ability to literally show up as something they perceive you will accept, that you will engage. So a lot of victims will talk about demonic presence, morphing, things changing, even the high-up priests or priestesses. But the demons that are in them, the demons that they have also, there's a great supernatural masquerading. See, inside they're believing that the you're going to hear stories of victims who say they had sex with Satan. And that Satan looked like a beautiful, dark-haired, beautiful, attractive. I mean, I've heard the women talk over years that Satan looked like a beautiful man and that he was attractive and sexual and drew them in. Again and again, I hear the story. The ideas of incubus and succubus and demons masquerading, in order to elicit sexual response. I mean, who wants to have direct sex with some ugly, stinking-looking demon when the demon then masquerades or Satan masquerades and makes himself look so acceptable? We are dealing with the very blood and guts, the raw facts concerning Satan in the underground. And so millions of SRA victims around the world have all experienced and seen directly the masquerading, the morphing, the metaskizmazotai of the enemies, and that's part of their supernatural power. So it's no wonder to me that they actually act that way in public, where they're to create a cover of a nice businessman, nice home, nice, you know, their lawn is going to be cut. They're going to look, you know, like they, you know, nice people that go to a traditional church, things like that. Now, that's all misinformation, disinformation. It's all meant to be a cover. It's all meant to be to present one thing. That's exactly what Satan does in the masquerade, in the metaskizmazo, to masquerade as an angel light. But what he really is Satan, the adversary, the destroyer, the tempter. And what they are behind the scenes are what they really are. They are Satan-worshipping, child-abusing, blood-sacrificing. That's what they're all involved in. Point number four, write down the name G.H. Estabrooks. G.H. Estabrooks is E-S-T-A-B-R-O-O-K-S, I think it is. Might be C-K, I forget now. His book, Hypnotism, in which he describes in the book, from back as far as 1944, another edition put out in 1947. Now remember, here's a guy that's world-renowned as a psychologist, hired by U.S. military, learned, of course, all this stuff from the Nazis. But he's describing way back then, so it's not our material. We didn't make this up. This is not information even from the victims. Back to G.H. Estabrooks, point number four. He defines in the chapter on weaponizing, making subpersonalities in soldiers, and also telling how they desire to create a fifth column of these kind of super soldiers, programmed super soldiers in all departments of U.S. military. That's not my words. G.H. Estabrooks, you're right, Ph.D., and he was world-renowned. Now, I'm going to say in the bad way, the sinister way. But I think he was spilling the beans in the book put out in 1943 and then another edition. I have, I think, a 1947 edition or two. And he says that they could program the subparts to be assassins, to be infiltrators. Now listen carefully. George Estabrook said that they would train some subpersonalities to be disinformation specialists. In other words, they can have subpersonalities that the only thing they're going to do is sow false information, disinformation. In all SRAs from the underground world, you're going to have personalities that have programmed, trained, experienced personalities that do nothing but give misinformation and disinformation. Quick story right here, point number four. Point number five, subpersonalities programmed with disinformation. Point number five, you're going to engage subpersonalities. We didn't know this in the beginning. The federal officer's wife out of Cleveland. Constantly, subparts are telling us here, or one part personality is telling us, go to this cemetery, go to this place in Cleveland, in this building, in this old shut down church, in this area of East Cleveland, over here. We're going all over the place. And many times we're finding nothing. And we're finding that we're spending hours and hours and hours on the field. So we began to suspect and have some discernment and something's wrong. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I know somebody that bugged the home for 21 days. Point number five, subpersonalities pumping out disinformation. And that disinformation, here's what happened. 21 days, the federal officer's wife, they're bugging and they get all the information coming in and all the stuff going on. Surveillance is being done on the outside. After 21 days and all the tapes that were collected, and I listened to them, here's what occurs. Subpersonality inside this woman is the one making phone calls with threats from a tape recorder. Now, she recorded some men from the coven doing it, but from the tape recorder, she would call the Shadow of the Darkness phone lines and then play, you know, warning us to stay away, that the power and the blood of this woman belongs to the Circle of Dominion, the Coven, then threaten us. Okay? So that was all coming from her apartment. We found the tape recorder. We found the tape. Secondly, we found that in the tapes and all that was going on and the discussions she was having with other Coven members, that subpersonalities inside were purposely giving us disinformation, misinformation. After 21 days, we took all the tapes and all the materials, went to meet the federal officer's wife in the apartment in Kenmore. We played some of the tapes. We laid them out on the table. We told her that her house had been bugged for 21 days, and here's all the information. We told her that surveillance was run, photographs were taken. She literally fell to the floor, dejected. The sub-personality named Leia came up. Never met her before. She admitted that she did all of it for the coven. She admitted that many times in taking us out, as we're out investigating, trying to protect her, trying to find other victims, she purposely gave misinformation and disinformation. She was in contact with the coven to lead us out to areas far away from the actual rituals. This sub-personality was taking us far away from where the real victims or the real coven was doing things and giving disinformation. And I'm going to tell you something very clearly. I want you to hear this. I asked this sub-personality, Leia, you know, bottom line, you know that we've been here to help. You've seen the power of Jesus destroy the demonic realm in her. Why would you do this? What was the whole reason? Well, one was the coven loyalty. And secondly, this personality said right out to us, to waste your time. To waste your time. That's point number five. Subparts programmed to give disinformation, to waste your time, and to take you away from where the real evidence is all about. It was a lot of times plotted and set up by the coven and this sub-personality, take them to this spot. You know, there'd be like a symbol, a satanic symbol on the wall, or take to this cemetery. And I mean, all these places we were being taken, but we were not finding the actual verified, we were not getting to other victims, we were not getting to the nailing perpetrators or anything. And the confession. So we had to begin to do things a little different. How we'd approach things. We're going to talk about that tonight in the training. Because if you're going to be working with victims, if you're going to be dealing with SRA, you're going to find that in, you know, richly abused individuals that have sub-personalities inside will have cult loyal. They see you as the enemy. They see they have an advantage because you don't know they're there yet. They're the ones making phone calls or meeting with the coven. They're the ones telling the coven everything about you. All the meetings. They're the ones giving all the information. So you got to make sure you hold. Point number six. And I'm going to give you the point number six and seven deals with the main reason why they do this disinformation stuff. Number six. Disinformation is given purposely to lead you far off the tracks. I mean, think of a police officer or an FBI agent out trying to nail down the facts concerning a killing, concerning whatever else, and people that do know and people that maybe were involved, they're telling them, oh, no, over on the other side of the city, and giving, you know, disinformation, misinformation to lead you purposely further away from the real stuff. That's point number six, to lead you away. Point number seven, this is vital. Not only do they want to lead you away, but disinformation may be given in a very designed way to set you up for harm. I talked to one of the workers in what was called BAD, Bothered About Dungeons and Dragons. Tom Wedge wrote a chapter on that issue in the book Satan Hunter. I think it's a good chapter. Old, but it's a good chapter. So if you're reading the book, The Satan Hunter, to get a basic, you know, earlier look at some of the satanic crime stuff, that's good. Not the best out there now, but it's good stuff, and a lot of things there to know. Dungeons and Dragons, there was an organization called BAD, Bothered About Dungeons and Dragons. I contacted one of the main workers, and they told me, this is what they told me, that as their son was a youth pastor or whatever, I believe at the time, was working with some victims of satanic stuff. And they were going after satanic stuff. And they were, one time, the youth pastor was called, kind of emergency-wise, to come to a certain area, and that somebody needed help, and wanting to get out of Satanism and so forth. So he goes out there by himself to an area in the town. Guess what happens? A van pulls up. Some guys run out. They try to drag him. He fought back, and they try to drag him to throw him into the van. He fought back hard enough. I don't know if it was another car that came up or what, but the guys in the van then had to take off. Very important here, okay? Very important. When you could be set up. Now, we've been set up and stabbed at. We've been set up and the coven took pictures of us. We've been set up only to have them send us something in the mail later on to say, we saw you at such and such place, or take pictures of your house and send it to you. So watch out in the area of misinformation, disinformation. One of the biggest clues, we'll talk about how do you discern, or how do you protect yourself in that. But one of the biggest issues we began to see was, though the information sounded good and sounded deep and sounded like something was really going on, it never actually led us to anything. And though they brought us things and they brought us symbols and they wrote down things and they showed us things, nothing ever led to helping another victim or finding one. Nothing was ever leading to actually nailing perpetrators. But a lot of time was spent and a lot of involvement was there, and we were all over the place. The bottom line, that it was not just even a cold lead. It was purposely designed, one, to lead us, number six, to lead us off tracks and away from the real stuff. And by doing that, then they could monitor what we did know, so that sub-personalities would report back to the coven, hey, they know about the meeting place, or hey, they know about one of you guys. Hey, they know about what the, you know, and they're going to come down there next Friday. I heard them talk. They're going to come down, and they will inform on you and mislead you, and the coven will lead them to tell you for them to take us on the other side of the city somewhere else. Or watch out that you don't get set up to be abducted, to be hurt. We'll be telling other stories. You're right, CIs, confidential informants, you've got to be careful. When we talk about CIs in the sense of even personalities inside, well, I'll give you the principles tonight. These are vital principles as you are in the midst, because I know you want, I mean, I just want to help. I want to see them saved, healed, delivered, helped out of it. I want to see perpetrators who are going to do it to more children and more children. To my right on the TV screen, I'm seeing the faces of the three men in Cleveland that did what they did. Now, thank God they're off the streets. Who knows how long, for 10 years, they've done this to others, if there's bodies. We're going to hear stories concerning that house that are going to be unbelievable. And I hope that we'll find some of the facts out to either completely rule out any cult stuff, satanic stuff, rule out any other group. But I'm saying at this point, look for connections, that this may be much larger than just that one house. That's how it was with the federal officer's wife. It wasn't, we tracked her to numerous places where there were meetings. We found the priestess Coco. We got into that house by law enforcement pounding on a door, going to break the door down. They were angry at us. That's why they did the death ritual. That's why they did a blood death ritual and came all the way out of Cleveland down to my house to see if I was dead. Told that story. And that's why in all of this, wise, you know, meek as a dove, wise as a serpent. Psalm 91, constantly, you know, trusting the Lord for, you know, covering you and guarding you. Now, the bottom of page 75, two main things I want to talk about. The reasons why for the cover-up and the secrecy, okay? There's two main things. Number one, supernatural secrecy. Number two, physical secrecy. You got to know they're both there. And here's where, again, law enforcement, I mean, I have law enforcement guys that just look at me and say, Russ, I've got the law on my side, and they'll pat their gun. You know, I got my 45, or you know, I got my Glock. You know, I got this. Even Tom Wedge would say that to us in the police academy. You know, I've got Christ and I've got my gun. Okay. But what do you know about spiritual warfare? What do you know about real supernatural powers? Can you just defeat the devil with a Glock or Wes Smith and whatever? Is that it? No. I'm going to tell you right now, law enforcement otherwise, when they allowed me a little bit to teach in the police academy, these questions would come up. And officers would take me to a side that didn't want to ask in public. They'd pull me aside later and say, I went to this one place, we were dealing with this blood thing or death thing, and there was voodoo, and this lady put a curse on me. What do I do? And I want to pray for me. Another officer, same thing. They're working in a case where, you know, real underground Satanists are doing rituals against them. And Coco, the priestess up there, was doing rituals against the police in Palomomi in Ibaqua in the Santa Muerte. You'll hear more about that if we have Tony Cal come on live. They do rituals to keep cops away. Sad thing, in the Mexican police, Mexicans that did not know Christ, did not know the authority of Jesus, they were going off to other occultists, getting them to do spells and things, trying to think they can have that to protect them, because they really believed in those dark powers were real. And, you know, if you have an officer says, I don't believe in those dark powers, well, then you're already losing the battle here. Not saying you won't catch everything, but we have a number of cases right now that involved ritual deaths. Never been solved since the 90s. So, number one, the supernatural secrecy. Number two, the physical secrecy. Let me touch on number one. That's on page 75. Page 75, the two main forms of cover-up. Number one, supernatural secrecy. Number two, physical secrecy. Let me touch on number one really quick here. Supernatural secrecy, connect that to 2 Thessalonians 2. The mysterium is the Greek word, the mystery of iniquity, or literally the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. In the development of the Antichrist and the development of the behind-the-scenes shadow government, they have supernatural, I mean, you know, a mile-thick wall of supernatural secrecy. They even do rituals to cover themselves in secrecy. As a matter of fact, you can check out the ritual in September, the Hands of Glory. And part of the reason, in some cases, for the Hands of Glory ritual is to grant them the powers of invisibility, to hide them. Do I believe it works? Yes. Do I believe it works for the drug lords, for the Satanists, and for the undergrounders, deep undergrounders? Do I believe that it works if there is a infiltrator in military, in government, in law enforcement, in a church, and they're using supernatural dark powers to keep them hidden and cloaked? Yes. Yes. When we understood this more in the end of the 80s, we began to then really have to build prayer teams and pray and ask God to cut through. Again, mark down Ezekiel chapter 8. In Ezekiel chapter 8, guess what happens? Not even the good prophet knew. Deep down in through the temple, down in the, you know, down in, there was a hidden, supernaturally probably covered, and then physically also covered, coven meeting. And it took God leading the prophet. It took God to supernaturally break in. That's where knowing your authority and knowing prayer and being powerful in prayer, that's why I'm telling you right now. And if you're an officer and or fed or anybody else that's working occult crime cases, you know, it's just, you know, and I know that in law enforcement and other places and counseling centers, you're not allowed to overtly do this. But you know what? When you're in your car by yourself, you know, you can pray inwardly when you're standing around areas, when you're at home, you know, mapping out the cases that you're dealing with, you can begin to seek the Lord and pray over this and really ask the Lord to break in, to lead you, really, you know, command that the wall of satanic secrecy be broken, and, you know, come against that in the name of Jesus and ask the Lord to destroy and for the Lord to break open And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to see the hand of God at work in that. It's like a demonized person. If you say nothing and do nothing, they're going to stay demonized, right? But if you use the authority that you've been given, Luke 10, and you command the demon, you know, come up and deal with it and get out, you know, expallo, the idea, get out, and you cast that demonic presence out by the authority you have in Christ, in Jesus' name, of course. That's how it works. And so you're going to have to come against the spells and the powers and the wall of secrecy. They summon demons to hide their coven. They summon demons to protect during ritual night. So number one, when it comes to two forms of cover-up, supernatural. Even inside of victims, demons are placed inside to shut the mouths of subpersonalities, to keep them from ever speaking. Dark powers. So when we take them through deliverance and kick demons out, sometimes right away, subparts come up and they know the dark ones are gone and they begin to tell, they begin to talk, they begin to come up right away. You got to break the demonic strongholds, powers, and the work of the enemy on the inside and on the outside. You have to become a spiritual warrior, knowing your authority, living with the armor on, being aware, being alert, and asking God, you know, to take you in. And this involves, for example, that house in Cleveland with the three girls. Now, I don't know the story yet. I don't know the story yet. But similar stories like this, and when we dealt with the federal officer's wife in Cleveland, there were numbers of houses we were taken to where other victims or where she was taken, where rituals were done. And so we need to really look into this and say, is there anything in there ritualistically? Are there any babies buried? Are there any sacrificial? I mean, if the babies are found in body parts, are they sacrificed, cut up, anything else? Listen to the girls themselves. May God give them wide open mouths to tell everything. I guarantee you this, that when you have infiltrators anywhere in law enforcement or anywhere else, their goal is to make sure that nothing of the underground, the satanic side, gets unleashed. So it's important that we know. The second thing is physical secrecy. Two main forms of cover-up, page 75. First is supernatural. The second is the physical. I'm going to give you seven things. Just mark these down, okay? We got to take time. This is important on the physical side. Number one, I mean, you ever play hide-and-seek? Someone goes and hides? I mean, they're hiding somewhere. You got to go find them. Well, that's how covens play. That's how drug lords play. That's how human trafficking folks hide. Just simply hide. Hidden places, hidden information. You know, they've got certain houses, certain fields, certain woods. You know, they hide their robes. They hide their stuff. You'll find that they hide things in storage bins. They hide them in those rental places you can rent. Storage garages, hide their ritual spots deep in the woods. When we were in training on advanced occult crime and sent into a house, we didn't know it at first, but the rug, once we all failed the test, the law enforcement guys came in, pulled up the rug. Underneath was a pentagram inverted with symbols and candle wax. And they showed us where to look. So please understand, just like with drug lords and drug sellers, and just like in human trafficking, the satanic ritual abuse agenda, their goal is to have hidden places. Hide their information. Hide their flash drives. Hide their, you know, all the stuff hidden. Hide it. Now, number two on that is punishment. You're right. Thank you for putting that in the classroom tonight. Someone puts the word booby traps. In the world of physical secrecy, when they are hiding their locations, and if it is a house, whatever else, there can be booby traps. A sharp eye, they had fake bombs in our training at DefTech, where we would go out to look for an area where a ritual might be going on. Somebody, you know, went by some brush brush and hit a string, hit a line, and a fake bomb went, you know, like a flash bomb went off. And, you know, if it was real, we would have been dead. We'd all been blown up. In the house, no question about that. They have, they can have booby traps. So be very careful about booby traps when you are doing that. I'm glad you put that in there. But number two, training and punishment. Victims are going to be punished for telling anything. I mean, they'll see people, I mean, they'll have episodes where they're trained in, you know, by watching coven members punish other people. I can tell you some of the most horrific stories. You're going to hear the stories from SRAs where anybody that's ever told, anybody that's ever, you know, leaked out information, punishment, a welding torch to the eyeballs, knives, cutting, burning, tied up, sexually abused, ritually, you know, abused, harmed. If you look at Tom Wedge's book and the real law enforcement slides there, and I've got other ones, in, you know, when it comes to punishment, we've had victims where they were punished and we found them 3 days later. And at first they didn't want to talk anymore. They didn't want to tell anymore. Point number, just a third thing under physical secrecy, evading and eluding. They'd always hold the coven's meetings, the rituals in one spot. As a matter of fact, we've been taken by a lot of victims along the way, and they'll say as we're driving deep into some area, down in peninsula, down in areas and wooded areas, oh, that would be a place they would look for. They search for nice hidden places. They're looking for places to where they can have, larger ritual meetings. And they want to move from place to place. And even when it comes to victims in a house, normally, like this case in Cleveland, they don't keep victims in one spot only for a long time. Now, my question concerning the Cleveland case is whether or not they were there as breeders to bring forth babies for rituals, for human trafficking, for whatever else. Right. So you're going to have to deal with the issue of under physical secrecy, one, hiding, two, punishment, three, evading and eluding by changing places. You might be staking out something for a while, then the next week you go there, there's nothing there at all, nothing. They don't come back for 6 months. Let me give you another point four under this physical secrecy. The individual perpetrators and even the victims will be all dolled up and dressed up. They'll have a cover story, a cover life. They go to church, a Lutheran church, a Catholic church, something like that. Seemingly upstanding businessman. They want to present themselves to the public as a normal. Everything is normal. Notice how, if you're listening to any of the stories about the thing on Seymour Street in Cleveland with the three girls being found, 10 years. Now, the truth is, they may have been other places. We don't know if it's 10 years just in that place alone. That's where she was breaking free. But the cover story, I mean, think about this. All the neighbors, not one person thought anything was going on down in there. No one, you know, I listened to story and testimonies today of people in the neighborhood, people that partied with them, had ribs with him, had music, and didn't think a thing of this guy Ariel that actually abducted the girls. And so his upfront persona is one thing. The masquerade of living life and eating ribs and having music and drinking beers and whatever else. You're right, Shane. In the classroom, the girl that was in, you know, was abducted and taken for 18 years. So when you see this, this is very, very vital for us to understand that the underground is very hard to break in. The supernatural secrecy is the big wall. The physical secrecy is very intricate. Let me give you another point, number five, under physical secrecy. The issue of satanic justice. Now, you can look up on the web, just type in, you know, Bing it, Google it, whatever, Satanic Justice Symbol. You'll look in, you know, Tom Wedge's book, The Satan Hunter, even, where you will find, and we saw slides at Death Tech down in Opata. We saw slides and slides of where the justice, a tongue cut out, a hand cut off, eyes plucked out. It's pretty gruesome. And we had to look at all those actual crime scene pictures. And so we saw that. Covens, traditional, and the deeper underground, the SRA ones, it's all about secrecy. No one's allowed. The law is secrecy. You're not allowed to tell. And, you know, they may get punished or see what punishment is. They may have, you know, this constant moving around and going from one place to another place, not using the exact same methods all the time. They may have a cover picture of their lives in front of everybody. But let me tell you something, point five, the truth is, if somebody does tell, somebody does get out there, there's times when they get a hold of them and kill them in the worst possible way. Some of those slides, pictures, I think you can see in the Tom Wedge book, Satan Hunter. Point number seven, in the physical secrecy side, they would like to defame the, like if a victim starts to go out there and starts talking, you know, and a perpetrator has to answer, the perpetrator might say, oh, they've always been crazy. They're on meds and they've always been crazy. Ever since they were a kid, they were nuts. Another thing that they may do within the coven circles is take a video picture of the victim doing bad things, being involved in blood rituals or involved in all kinds of crazy things. One individual would not come out, a monarch SRA would not come out all the way. They feared the pictures that had been taken over the years, the video. And the same one told me at Bohemian Grove, that's part of the secrecy there. Of taking pictures of leaders and worldly other people doing things, some of the most heinous things you can think of. So that's part of the issue when it comes to the issue of physical secrecy. Okay? Also the supernatural. You're going to need prayer to see God and use the authority of Christ. Let me give you the story really quick for this first hour because we're almost done with the first hour. Second hour, Tom Dunn's going to come in. We're going to talk about a real case of a church in Mansfield and what occurred down there. He'll tell you about it. But quickly concerning disinformation in cases like this, the stories that we've had over the years when it came to when we would go looking, investigating, we got to do it with prayer, and then we have to, you know, really, really look and really. So over the years, we've gotten down the methods step by step they use to infiltrate churches. We've done materials on that, audio. We're going to do stuff in the future on DVD. So it's important to know the methods that are used if you're going to go, you know, helping victims. Now, in the third hour tonight, we're going to go to page 77 in your workbook, watching out for setups. We're going to go over five things that some examples of being set up in the context of dealing with satanic ritual abuse crimes. We are going to go over five aspects of protection. And then on page 79 on the third hour, retaliation from perpetrators. We're going to go over that. So real quick here at the end of the first hour, if you've gone through the one page, it took us 1 hour, one page, page 75, physical secrecy. Out of all the things on that, physical secrecy was point number six of that, of physical secrecy, I see you're asking, was defaming the victim, defaming you. In one of the cases out of Barberton, the grandfather Nazi began to write to me and began to come against me because he said I didn't hold a degree in law enforcement, I didn't hold a degree in investigations, that there's no way I could investigate them. So he was trying trying to gather all the information he could to try to do that. But what they'll try to do to victims, they're nuts, they're crazy, they're mental, everything else. Character assassination is correct use of the term when it comes to them. They will do anything to protect their secrets. But I'm telling you now, supernatural and physical secrecy of the deepest kind, you're talking beyond mafia, beyond the drug lords, beyond, you know, even human trafficking, as bad as that is, because you have the supernatural component where actual rituals are done, and then you have the other side of this where the physical tactics are used over and over again. Listen, let's take a 5-minute break right now because we've got to get ready.